We thank you for this last 28 years. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your presence. Every time we've showed up, you've showed up for us. We thank you for how many times you have delivered us. We thank you for how many times you have fought for us. We thank you for the times you have protected us. We thank you for the babies that were born in this house. We thank you for the souls that were saved in this house. We thank you for the lives that were transformed and discipled in this house. We thank you for promotions. We thank you for careers. We thank you for businesses. We thank you for marriages. We thank you for miracle babies. Thank you for opportunities. Thank you for platforms. Thank you that through seasons and times you have remained a faithful God. We thank you for preserved generation. We thank you for David's army. We thank you for transformed nation. We thank you for Caleb Fellowship. We thank you for Just Us Girls. We thank you for love, dating, and marriage. We thank you for the way that you have used us to impact the world. Thank you because even this church is not just a church, but a family. We give you thanks. For only you could have done us well like this. For in Jesus' name we worship. I thought I would hear a more celebratory amen. Somebody praise the Lord. Praise God. Before you sit down, we're just going to take 1 minute and just thank God again. It's been 28 years.
Hey.
28 years. As they say, if he is, he make you run amna. God has been so good to us in this house. There has never been a Sunday that we didn't have first timers. There has never been a Sunday that we didn't have people saved in the house. There has never been a baby dedication that there was no baby to dedicate. There's never been an end of year Thanksgiving that there were no multiple testimonies. There's never been a Thanksgiving Sunday that somebody did not come out to testify of the goodness of God. And that tells us that God is in this house. So Davis Christian Center, I need you to raise your voice this morning and celebrate this good God. Celebrate this mighty God. Celebrate this great God. Celebrate him like you mean it. David's army, are you still in the house? Transform Nation, are you in the house? Caleb Fellowship, is Caleb Fellowship in the house? God has blessed us from young to old. We have people who at 60, 70, 80 are still serving the Lord. And we have babies in Preserved Generation Church who are spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We have ministers in David's army laying hands on each other, prophesying. Only God could have done this great thing. So we're going to thank him. We're going to thank him. Isaiah 12 from verse 4. I'm reading the King James Version. It says, "And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted." He says, "Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." There's nobody that can say they don't know that God is in Davis Christian Center. He says, "Cry out and shout. Cry out and shout. Cry out and shout. Thou inhabitant of DCC, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." God is in our midst, but he's in our midst in a great and mighty way. We have seen his hand, but we've seen his heart. And so I want you to say thank you. Something must have happened to you in this house. God must have blessed you in a certain way. You must have heard a word that transformed you. We're grateful that he even gave us a shepherd over us, a shepherd after his own heart. We're thankful for the pastors that are in this house, the ministers, the leaders, and today gave us the privilege to ordain deacons and deaconesses in the house. I want you to open your mouth and say, "Lord, we're grateful. Only you could have done us like this, and you have done us well." Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. We're thankful. Even if we had 1,000 tongues, it won't be enough to say how good you are. But we still raise our voices this morning and we celebrate your faithfulness. We celebrate your kindness. We celebrate your mercy. For once we were not a people, but now are we the people of God. And we say thank you, for we recognize that you are great and mighty in the midst of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And we know that we'll have many, many more years to celebrate in the mighty name of Jesus. If you know that this is not the last anniversary that we're going to celebrate, if you know this is not the last anniversary you're going to be a part of, I need you to raise your voice this morning. Let the people know that God is great in the midst of Davis Christian Center.
Come on, keep giving the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We are grateful for how far you've brought us. Grateful for seeing us through these 28 years. We've been through thick and thin. We've seen different situations, but somehow you kept us. Like David said, we've gone through the water, we've been through the fire, but you still preserved us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Come on, can we still give the Lord a shout of praise? Please take your seat this morning. Quick information. We have officially launched the DCC app. Hallelujah. I thought you would rejoice more than that. Alright, so it's available for both Android users, and we managed to put Apple users because we just want to be nice to them, but it's mainly for Android people. So please, make sure you download the app and you'll be able to do all the many things. I believe at the end of the service, you can hold it for now. At the end of the service, Pastor Minister Femi will come and tell us some things the app can do and quickly guide us through downloading and operating some things. So we'll do that at the end of the service. But I just wanted to give you a heads up on it. Praise God. Can we put our hands again together for the team, the IT team, and the people that put it together? Great, great job. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can't hear you. For people celebrating, you're not shouting, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're starting this, as we're celebrating these 28 years, we're starting a series, Winner's Mentality. Winner's Mentality. It's going to run all through this month. God told us 28 years ago that this ministry shall be called David's Christian Center. And he said, as David never lost a battle, so will my walk with you be. So it's a strong covenant of victory. We have 100% victory 100% of the time. That's our belief. That's our covenant with God. So this morning I'm starting that series, and also in celebration of our 28 years anniversary, I'm doing a message titled, Life is a Race, Not a Journey. Come on, say with me, life is a race, not a journey. Say it again, life is a race, not a journey. Because sometimes I've heard people say, oh, the journey of life. I've heard people refer to life as a journey. And I understand where they're coming from. And in some way, it's also true. But I don't think that is the best approach to have to life. Because the mentality of a journey is very different from the mentality of a race. And if you approach life like a journey, you will not maximize life. It's better to approach life as a race. That is the best way to maximize the things God has prepared for us in life. And from scripture, I also see that they refer to life more as a race than a journey. In fact, they call this life, or human beings, the human race, because it's a race. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So say loudly, say after me, life is a race, not a journey. Hebrews chapter 12, let's start from there. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1. Hebrews 12 from verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said we are surrounded. That's what compassed about means. We are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. He said, let us do what? I can't hear you, church. Let us do what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily what? Beset us. And let us do what? Run with patience. What? The race. They called it a race. Let's run with patience the what? Race. Life is a race. They said there is a way or there are things to be mindful of when running this race. One of the things they mentioned there is that be mindful of the fact that you are compassed or surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. A cloud in scripture is often used to describe a crowd. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When Bible usually talks about cloud, it's a way of describing a crowd. So what they're saying is that we have a large crowd of witnesses or of people watching our own race. Who are these people? We understand that they are either apostles of old and apostles of now. What does this mean? All the apostles you read about in the Bible that have gone to be with the Lord, they are watching your own race. Then some of the apostles of our own generation that have died also. The great men of God, Kenneth E. Hagin, Pastor Apostle T.L. Osborne, Maurice Cerullo, all these great men of God that we knew in our own time, Archbishop Benson Idahosa, we knew them in our own time, they do powerful crusades in our own time, but they've also died. They said they are given the privilege of watching our race. So they are watching you run. They are not watching your carnal race. When you get married, those are not the kind of things they watch. When you buy a new car, that's not what they are watching. They are not watching your material progress. They are watching your spiritual progress. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Life is a race. Let's see the next verse. Verse 2. It says, looking unto who? Jesus, the what? Author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, he what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be what? Wearied and faint in your hearts. Let's read this thing in the Message translation. From verse 1. Message translation. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these what? Veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Say, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No what? Parasitic sins. Next verse. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both what? Began and finished this race we are in. He too has run it. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was what? Headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He said he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. Next verse. It says, when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that we shoot and relay into your spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Life is a race. Let's see some other scriptures that confirms that life is a race. Give me Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 in the NLT version. Philippians 3:14 in the NLT version. He says, I press on to reach the end of what? I can't hear you. The end of what? The race. And receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling us. He says, I'm pressing to reach the end of the race. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. He said, know ye not that they which run what? In a race, run all. That means everybody's running. But only one does what? Receiveth the prize. So run that you may what? Obtain. Next verse. It says, and every man that striveth for mastery or for championship is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are a what? Incorruptible. Next verse. It says, I therefore do what? So run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 27, it says, But I keep my body under, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Cast away. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, it's important you approach life with a race mentality, not a journey mentality. If you approach like a journey, there's a high chance you won't fulfill your purpose. I have here a few differences between having seen life as a journey and seeing life as a race. I'll touch some of it. I can't touch all of it. Number one, if you are seeing life as a journey, at the end of life or at the end of it, at the end of a journey, what you receive is that you have arrived. That's what you receive at the end of a journey. You have what? Arrived. But at the end of the race, what happens is that you either win or lose. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Big difference. If you see it as a journey, when you get to the end, all you can do is that I have what? Arrived. But in a race, at the end of every race, somebody is a winner and somebody is a what? Loser. That's number one mentality. When you see life as a journey, you are casual. Number two, you are casual. But when you see life as a race, it is competitive. Very important. If you have gone on a journey before, it's very casual. You wear your palm sandal. You wear anything you like. Especially if you are going by road, you stop at Ore to buy banana, you buy granite, you eat food, you do anything, you buy coke. If you're in a public bus, may the person next to you not buy egg. If you don't know, it's okay. Those that know, they know. If the person next to you buy two egg, just calm down. Because what goes in must come out. In a journey, you are casual. But in a race, it is competitive. But we are not competing against other Christians. We are not competing against other people. No. No. Because some people don't know that. They think we're in competition with other person. That if a person gets it, I will not get it. No. The way life is wired, you have your own path. You have your own lane. Other people's race does not disturb you. The competition is against yourself. The competition is against your time. Because you have limited time. When you treat life like a journey, time is not so pressing. If I don't reach there at 2 o'clock, I reach there at 3 o'clock. When it's a race, there's time to reach there. If you don't reach there that time, any other time you come, the officials have even closed. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? So it's not a competition against my friend or my brother. It's a competition against time. You don't have the whole of your life to make the most of your life. Did you hear what I said? I said you don't have the whole of your life to make what? The most of your life. It's only God that has unlimited resources. You as a human being. That's why I tell people all the time. Marry on time. Have children on time. The way God designed it, he called it the wife of your youth. It's for a reason. Are you catching what I'm saying? The way life is designed, there is where you should be at a certain time. It might not be exact time, but the frame of time, there's what you should be doing. If you miss that timing, you'll be doing the two, the old one you missed and the new one. They, in school, they call it carryover. Have you seen carryover before? You that didn't want to read first term, when you now have carryover, you now read double of what you didn't want to read. Are you catching what I'm saying? Marry on time. Have children. Even the way they designed the desk in primary school, you will know it's not for people like me at my size. You can attend though, but no chair for you. Because the way the chair is designed, they expect that the stage of life you should be, when you attend this school, you should be a child, not a grown man like me. Are you catching what I'm saying? You marry on time, have children on time. Raising children is work. It's not what you should be at old age. Some people don't know. All these single people just bouncing about. Marry quick. You don't need plenty of money. Get rent. One room is enough. It's because you want to rent flat that they're making your life flat. Start where you are. But start. Raising children is something you should do at your young age. You can't be paying school fees at 60 years old. Running around with children, it takes energy. Even for a woman. Just like women can't marry themselves, they have to wait for men to initiate. So it's men I'm really dealing with. Even for a woman, medically, they know the age when it's best for you to have children. After that, it becomes difficult and riskier. So even medically, your biologically, your body is trying to tell you, look, there's a time. You want to be chasing children at 40 years old. Your energy won't be the same. Your mind won't know. It's when your child is running. Say, Daddy, and you move and yuck. You say, Junior, continue playing with your friends. Your body will not agree with that playing at that age. Yeah, my son does it to me now. We'll go and watch Mbappe. And come and practice with me. Say, Daddy, come and see what Mbappe. I say, leave Mbappe. Is he the one paying your school fees? Leave Mbappe. I can't run like that again. He called me yesterday. I said, why you call you? I said, did you watch the match? Do you know that Haaland scored hat-trick today? Oh, he said, yes, he knows. I was surprised. You know that now? He said, yes, I'm number one Man City fan. I said, correct. As long as you don't practice with me, it's okay. There is a timing. So the competition is not against your brain, it's against time. It's against time because God doesn't give you unlimited time. How many of you know those game shows where they say you have 1 minute, enter supermarket, as many things as you can take is your own? That's how life is. You have limited time to do all the things God has for you. So if you are playing with your time, you are missing out. Life is not a journey, it is a race. So when you go as a journey, it's casual. When you go with the mindset of a race, it's competitive. A race against time, a race against purpose. Number three, when you finish your journey, if you have a journey mindset, when you finish the journey, they give you greeting. When you arrive from a trip, what they tell you? Welcome. It's greeting you receive. But when you finish a race, they give you a prize. Big difference. They give you what? A prize. Sometimes a medal, sometimes a trophy, sometimes a cash, but they give you what? A prize. Big difference. In a journey, all you receive is welcome. Though, how was the journey? You just say, it was tiring. If you see traffic in Benin, hey. But when you finish a race, you win a prize. And trust me, I've been in school. I was one of the bad boys in school when I was not born again. When you start school, you think prize giving day will not come. Or you think it won't be a big day. I mean, it won't be a big deal. It will be a big deal when you are in the class or the prize giving day in heaven and they are giving an award for those that ran the race. That's what Paul says. Paul says, I run like somebody that wants to win the prize. She told them this in the first service. My daughter is the book person. She's very serious with life, like my wife. They like book. Pastor Major can be very serious for no reason. So my daughter is like, if you hear her talking, you think she's an adult. You have proper adult conversation. So she likes books and she does well in school. So when they're doing prize giving day, one of the last ones they did, Best in maths, David Okonkwo. Best in English, David Okonkwo. Best in literature, just understand it. Best in literacy, David Okonkwo. Best in religious studies. You're just packing the awards. As he was calling at David Okonkwo, David Okonkwo, I knew there was a problem. There was going to be a problem. So as we were going home in the car, my son, that is like me, was grumbling and doing his face. I said, what's the problem? He said, they didn't even give me any prize. They're not giving David everything. I knew there was a problem already. What they did, right? I said, they are not dashing the prize. Though. They are not just dashing people. It's based on what? Your score, the result. So you might think it's not a big deal, but when you get to heaven and see them giving prize to all those that ran the race, because the Bible tells us that even those that give a glass of water in the name of the Lord, that they will no wise miss their reward. So it means that there will be prize giving there in heaven. They will be giving people reward for their labor, for the work they did for God, for the support of the kingdom. But some people, they didn't do anything. All they did was they managed to attend service and they didn't even come regularly. But others were serving. In the first service, we ordained deacons, we ordained ministers, we ordained pastors. They were deacons that are over 60 years old, about 70 years old. They are serving. What's your excuse? Young. You can't even serve. These are the people you get to heaven with. And they will give them a word. And your own. They'll just say, pass. At least you come. They'll give you greeting. That will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Number four. When you have a journey mentality, in a journey, you are carrying luggages. In a race, you are dropping weight. In a journey, you are carrying weight. In a race, you are dropping weight. He said, put aside every weight. When you are in a race, you must be as light as possible. If you see those guys that run, even their shirt is very short. Have you seen the shirt that those people that run wear? The shirt is what? Short. Because they want to keep it light. The shoe is light. And they wear something like a singlet. It must be light. Can you imagine somebody going for 100 meters final and he wears suit? We all know he's going to come last. Yes or no? He's going to come last. Because the key to running is putting aside every word. Wait. On a journey, you are packing things. You are packing things. I love to see Pastor Mildred when she packs. She's a great packer. One time when Canada were coming home, she was packing 2 days before the trip. She had started packing. I roll on the floor and laugh and laugh and laugh. She was all laughing. I see 2 days trip, you're already packing. We, 2 hours to the trip. We start to ask, where's our passport? Where's my shoe? Are there any last minute packers here? If you're in my WhatsApp group, let me see you. We pack 1 hour to the time we pack. But we pack sometimes two weeks. She started packing. I will laugh and roll on the floor. But when you're going on a journey, you pack things. When you're going on a race, you drop things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you can't run to hit the target if you are heavy. Say, put aside every word, weight. And weight is not sin. If you see that scripture, they differentiated it. Sometimes weight is not a bad thing. It's just a weight. That means it's not negative. It's not a sin. It's not evil. It's just that it will slow you down. That's all. You want to watch Big Brother Nigeria? Okay. How many hours does it take? 24 hours. Is the weight. Are you here, somebody? Are you here, somebody? So some things are not bad. They are just going to waste your time. Hallelujah. Somebody says, I want to marry you. Say, okay, let's be dating. Yes. How many years? Let's see how it goes. And now you are 7 years counting. You are still dating. It is a word, wait. Because your mate have done PhD by that time. You have done 7 years relationship, you still didn't graduate. Are you catching what I'm saying? It is a word, wait. Because if a relationship, you know relationship is work. You have to call. You have to do birthday. You have to do Valentine. You know Valentine. The small money you are gathering, you don't have to be saving it to invest. You are buying gifts, buying different things. Then after 7 years, the person says, tired. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? So a weight is not a sin. It's just something unnecessary to your race. Are you catching what I'm saying? I just said them in the first service. My brother is in the army, was in the army, retired as a major general. And he said one time they were in the war front fighting, and they had been in that place for days. That means they had not slept well, they had not eaten well. They've been in the bush for days. And the enemy came to ambush them. Serious gun, papa, bullet flying everywhere, all those things. He said, those things when you're watching TV, you think it's a joke. That truly, when bullet pass, you go, your ear got a ring. The bullet don't go again. You can see the ear out. So bullets were flying, papu, papu, everywhere. And the soldiers were retreating. And his assistant was saying, Oga, move, let's move, let's move. He said, they had not eaten, they had not slept. They've been in the bush for days. They ran and ran and ran. Each one said, you couldn't run again. He said, leave me here. Just leave me here. I'm not going to go again. Make her die here. They said, no, we're not going to leave you. They told him to go. He got to a stage where he was so tired, he had to remove his helmet. His helmet that was for protection was a weight. He removed helmet to be able to run. He reached one place. He couldn't move again. He had to remove his boots. If you're in the bush, your boots is very what? Important. But at that time, because of how tired and drained he was, he had to remove boots. Real life story. That's how the race is. When you need to run, you can't carry weight. The real people running can't carry weight. Are you here, somebody? In the kingdom, sometimes a weight might not even be a material thing. It might be information that is not necessary, that will poison your heart. Are you catching what I'm saying? It's not everything people have to say that you have to hear. Because it's foolishness to think words don't affect you. I learned that early in life. There are many information I can know, but I don't want to know. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not kidding you. There are many people that will tell me from the starting of the gist, I know if I ask for that, they will give me names and places and things. I intentionally do. Curiosity is there, but my priority is more than my curiosity. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you're still not grown, your ear is open to everything. You are not running. You are not running. You are a spectator. And nobody gives prize to spectators. Have you seen any competition where they said, we want to give all the fans on this side medal? Have you seen that before? They never get anything. All they have is complain. Words affect you. You are a spirit. You are created for words to affect you. That's why we go to church. If words don't affect us, then we won't have church. We come to church to hear the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So how did you even get born again? It's by hearing the word. You are created for words to affect you. So to put your ear down for anything people have to say. Some people watch their calories. They don't watch the gossip they hear. You say, I can't eat this. I'm watching my calories. You should watch more what you are hearing. Guard your heart with what? I shared the story in the first service, popular story, how that we used to have one music director. Very gifted and anointed music director, but he had bad behavior. Before he lead praise, he would first insult everybody. See, this how? See, you like, what's this? This one dancing. He will insult everybody. Hey, even me, I got to pity the church members. He will insult them where? He continued. We tried to talk to him. That's not how to talk to people. If you want them to even respond more, we tried in a lie. You go come, you go insult. You go, and bad behavior, even in the office. After some months, we say we can't cope. So we fired him. When we fired him, the next day, I resumed office. Front desk officer showed me the letter the guy wrote to her. Blasted her very well. I said, wow. Admin showed me his own letter. They blasted him very well. Assistant pastor showed me his own letter. The guy blasted him very well. Serious insult. Then I said, sir, this is your own. I say we should give you. I took the letter like that in the envelope. Never opened it. Never checked it. I was curious, but I have more sense. And this was more than 20 years ago. Took the letter like that inside the envelope and put it in the dustbin. Today, I don't know what was there. Put in the dustbin. A few years after, that same guy came back to town, came back to church, that he wants to do an event in the city. And he needed churches to support. And in fact, he wanted us to be the main church that would support his program. I was the only one that could hug him, laugh with him, ask him, okay, how can we support? Every other person on the team, how can he come back here? This, they couldn't greet him, they couldn't laugh with him, they were all angry because of the words that were released. How many years? I was doing that, I could hug him. No pain, no stress. I was laughing with him, joking with him. You know why? I guarded my heart. Many years ago. I was able to help him freely. Laughing, playing, not one animosity in my heart because I didn't give it room. So to think you are so wise and so strong that words don't affect you. Say, come and hear what's happening. You go and hear. Come and hear this one. No, there are things you should not hear. Your hearing will not add or remove to the situation. It will only add and remove to your own life. Are you catching what I'm saying? You are the only victim in that story. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Very important. Distractions. Wait. Number what are we in? And you're not writing number. Number five. When it's a journey, distractions are allowed. When it's a race, focus is necessary. You never see anybody running a race with their phone. Pressing phone, checking different things, reading other people's story on the blog. They are focused on the race. The race is important. No distractions allowed. When you see people talking about other people, they are not running. When you are active in the race, other people's race doesn't concern. You can't see somebody running a race and supervise another person running the same race. The race is too tough for us to be supervising another person. Anybody you see supervising and criticizing, they are usually not in the race. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You're not in the race. Next one, number what? Preparation, very important. When you are packing your preparation, when you are going on a journey, your preparation is different from when you are going on a race. When you are going on a race, the kind of diet you eat, the kind of exercise you do, you are preparing differently. One of the things that is affecting Africa is that we don't respect preparation. In fact, we value prayer more than preparation. And they are both important, but one does not replace the other. You can't use preparation to replace prayer, and you can't use prayer to replace preparation. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I'll say that again. You can't use preparation to replace what? Prayer. And you can't use prayer to replace preparation. It's Africa's biggest problem. And I'm seeing Christians falling for that trap every day. They think they're going to pray their way into a better life. It doesn't work that way. Prayer is very powerful, but it has to be strategically used along preparation. Nigeria prays before and after every match. Have you noticed? Those of you that watch football. Nigeria prays when? Before and after. We're about to miss two World Cup for the first time. That won't go to World Cup 2 years, two times back to back. But we'll see. If you check us now, if we're playing tomorrow, we'll still kneel down and pray into failure. Somebody didn't read for exam, is praying. What does that have to do? You're just praying so that you won't feel bad when you see your result. Because that result is sure. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And even if by chance, somehow, a miracle happens, and you get a result you didn't work for, it never repeats itself. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the African will go and share testimony and think, I will continue this way. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must adequately what? Prepare for the race. Those days when MTN first started in Nigeria, they were doing MTN marathon. They were giving out 1 million naira. It was so much money that time. So much money. Ah, I miss those days. When 1 million naira, everywhere we shake. And once they announced the marathon, without fail, the next Sunday, my church member will come and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to win that 1 million naira. And I will bring my tithe. And I will pray because that's my work. But inside my heart, I know you can't win. He said, Pastor, I'm going to win the 1 million naira. His focus is the 1 million naira. That's the first time he bought running shoe when he announced 1 million naira. He has never jogged or run before that time. Say, I'm going to win it. So I'll pray for him. He will start running around his neighborhood. And the day of the race will come. I will come and stay in front of my TV. They will be announcing the race. And the race is going smoothly. They are going around the third lane. They are going around. I will watch him for my church member. And the winner, the region, the winner is one Kenyan. It's not my church member. Second, one Ethiopian. It's not my third member. Third, one other person. Not my church. Fourth, 15, 20, my church member has not passed. 40, my church member has not passed. They have closed the studio. Thank you, we're closing the studio for the watching the rain. I'm still sitting down. My church member has not passed. I'm thinking maybe after they do one or two programs, they'll come back and show us my church. They didn't. See, now they have not shown that guy. I asked him what happened. And it didn't happen only once. It happened like up to twice, at least, that I can remember. Two different people. Once they announce 1 million, they will come to church and next day I pray for them. People that win those races, it's not that week they started running. They run for a living. Whether they win that money or not, they are on the field on Monday. You just announce 1 million, you buy shoe to start running. This African style of doing things. The people that win the thing, they travel from another country. A Kenyan that bought ticket to travel to another country to run, you think he's joking? How can you that just run around your clothes, your street, win somebody that left his country to fly down? And from that place, even whether he wins that one or not, he's going to the next race. He does it for a living. You, after this one, you go and eat amala. This is what Nigerian Christians are doing. They're turning prayer to magic. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? People that went for the last Olympics. My wife said I never pronounced it well. Do you know now the real countries are already preparing for the next one? I hope you know. The real countries are preparing for the next one now. Everyone has closed. We have sold the bicycle they borrowed us. We have sold everything. We have moved. See, 2 weeks to the next one, we'll come back with prayer. The athletes will come, they will anoint them with oil for failure. Because they're not going to win that way. Nobody's going to win that way. If God allows you to win that way, that will be impartial. If prayer works that way, why are we going to work? I won't go to work. I'll just stay indoors. All of us will pray together and money will come. Who will go and stay in traffic? If prayer works that way, it doesn't work that way. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Preparation. Number what are we in? 7. When it's a journey, it can be a group journey. When it's a race, it's an individual race. All of us are running our own race. There's no group race. There's no DCC race. There's no ushering department race. Everybody is on a single lane running their race. Even though we are running as a kingdom, but your own score is based on your own input. Your parents' inputs can't pay for you. Your cousin's own, your husband's own, your wife's own can't serve for you. You are running your own individual what? Race. So there's no church in heaven. There's no marriage in heaven. Everybody's one. You're a spirit. Individual race. So make sure you are running your own race. You are not serving me. You are not serving for me. You are serving with me. I might be the senior pastor. That's my race. But you too, you have a race and a calling. Every child of God has a calling. When I read in the Bible, when God was telling Moses to build the temple, I was shocked. God was mentioning the name of people that would do cutting and people that would do carving. He mentioned them by name. Did you hear what I said? God mentioned the people that would build different parts of the temple by what? Name. So when God called Moses, he also called those people. When God called the pastor, he doesn't call the pastor to do everything. There are people he has also called to sing. There are those he has called to usher. There are those, so it's an individual race. DJ, I wish you can find that scripture for me so that somebody will see it. When God called Moses, we thought it was only Moses. He now said, let Aaron follow you. Aaron too was called. He called different people. Even when they were now building the temple, he began to mention them that this is the one that should carve. I have given him skill. So some skill God gave you are using in the bank where you work. He expects that part of that gift and skill will be used in the church for his own assignment. Or for, you know, it might not even be in church, but you use it for the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's an individual word race. Number what? Number 8. In a journey, you cannot be disqualified. Nobody is giving you red card in a journey. But in a race, you can actually be disqualified. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can be what? Paul said, I want to run carefully so that I will not be a castaway, so that they will not fire me, because you can be sacked in this race. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are behaviors that God doesn't condone in the race. Some behavior is yellow card. Some behavior is red card. Those of you that watch football, you know what I'm saying. In football, the first offender might get yellow card, but if you retaliate, it is sure red card. That means the person that retaliates gets removed. The person that started the fight, they just warn him that don't start fight again. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Sometimes the kingdom works like that. That's why David and Saul committed offense. David continued walking. Saul was fired. There are behaviors that they don't condone in the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? For instance, this kingdom doesn't condone destroyers. If you are part of the destruction of anything God is doing, you are fired. Even if your attention is right, destroyers are not honored here. God will always honor builders. Even if the builders are not perfect. You know why God will use a builder that is not perfect? Because God has no perfect person to use. Are you getting what I'm saying? All the choices available to God, all are imperfect people. All. So he will still use one of them. You might not just like the person. Are you catching what I'm saying? There's no perfect person. So he will not condone the person that thinks, why will God use somebody that is so and so? I will not allow it. Use you, they will not allow. You are the one that will get fired. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Check all the ministries or pastors that their job is to call out other pastors. Give them time. You will soon not see them again. They are not the first. They are not the first. There's a popular one like that. Very, very popular. I'll try to code it. Some of you will know it, sir. You are too good. You are too nosy. But the story touches me a lot. This guy was a great man of God. Somewhere out of Nigeria. He was one of the only churches that he was a black guy, but the church was full of white people. If you have traveled before, you know that it's not common. If the pastor is white, most times the church is largely white. If the pastor is black, the church is largely black. But this guy was one of the few people. He was a black guy, but the church was 99% white. I'm not talking about 100 member church. I'm talking about 1,000 member church. I'm talking about thousands and thousands, massive church, white people. Pastor by a black guy. Very big church. The guy was celebrated everywhere. Supported by a lot of churches in Africa and in Nigeria. They loved him. They mentored him, everything. But he got to a stage. His message changed. His message became about who is not doing right, who is not doing right. Once you start that thing, we are experienced enough to know you won't last. You won't last. Before long, police arrested him. Motor jam police. Police jam mama. Akara mama trowe. He got arrested, fired from church, church closed. His wife is reaching out to the people he was insulting to come and help. Once you start that thing, God will never honor it. Once you start that thing, that my job is to criticize, to fight somebody, you are fighting God. God never gives you a right to fight his servant. He said, leave it to me. He's able to correct his own employees. It's not your right. I don't like the way they're playing. You enter field and go and beat somebody. They will carry you like this into the deep side of the prison. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If you think people are not doctrinally correct, teach the right thing without calling people. Truth doesn't need support. Light and darkness, do not debate. If what you're saying is revelation, it will stand. You don't have to insult people. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can't be disqualified on a journey, but you can be disqualified in a race. The moment you start feeling I'm the only one, it's a spirit. That I'm the only one spirit. That spirit operated from Moses. Moses felt I'm the only one. The children of Israel were too stubborn. He began to insult them. The moment he started insulting them, God said, you have tried. Welcome home. Race over. Moses closed. Passed the baton to Joshua. Elijah too came with that same spirit. I'm the only one that have not bowed my knee. God said, I have 7,000 or 9,000. Do you understand? God said, pass the baton to Elisha immediately. Start coming home. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? When you feel you are the only one, you are the special one, you'll soon be the retired one. Point number what? 9. Missing the way on a journey might not be as costly as missing the way on a race. On a journey, if you miss the way, GPS will bring you back. On a race, if you miss the way, you have missed the race. So some mistakes are more costly. Number 10, last one. On a journey, you choose your destination. On a race, the end of the race is predetermined from the beginning. You can't just run anywhere and end anywhere in a race. You know, in a journey, you can choose where you are going. They say, where are you traveling to? You can choose anywhere you are going. But on a race, you can't run anywhere you like. There is a fixed place where the officials are waiting to mark who came first. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's important that you keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible said, looking unto what? Jesus. Leave other people, let them do what they like. That's not your concern. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And I will end by saying this. Those of you that have run relay or athletics before, you understand that in relay race, because life is not just a race, it's actually a long distance relay race. So it's a long distance race, but it's also a relay race because you must pass the baton. Are you catching what I'm saying? And if you have run relay before, part of the rules of running relay is that you must know when the baton is in your hand and you must know when to pass the baton. I had a friend that was the fastest guy in my school, without a doubt. Clearly the fastest guy. How do we know he's the fastest guy? One day he ran with some people. He fell twice. 100 meters, if you know about running. 100 meter race, that's the shortest, one of the shortest races. He fell twice in the race and he still came first. You understand? Oh, your man said, go. He fell. He ran small. He fell. Everybody has left. He dust them. But it wasn't an official race. It was all of us, the complete race with the fastest guys. So he couldn't participate somehow. So the only race he had time to prove himself was in a relay race. And he was running alongside the fastest guy in school. So he had made up his mind, I'm going to beat the fastest guy so that everybody will know I'm the real fastest guy. Be careful of competing with people. You will miss your way. Me, when I drive with people, I drive fast cars. I like to compete with people when I'm driving. Many times, I've ended in a wrong destination because I want to win this guy. We are racing. Woo, 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 woo. And when I'm racing with people, ask my wife. She doesn't like it because she's too serious. When I'm racing with people, I'll keep my face as if I don't know we are racing. Some of you drivers here know what I'm talking about. You the race person, but you know like I say, no. I don't like I'm driving. But as the match, I'm the match. As the match, I'm the match. I don't like it. But with the race. So one day, I was racing one guy. My turn, like, right, oh. But so that this guy will not feel he don't win me, I follow and they go where they go. At the end, I now have to be finding my way back to my own house. Because I don't follow and go where no concern me. When you're competing with people, that's how it is. You miss your way. Because you're trying to prove a point to your village people that you have arrived. You want to build house in the village because everybody has built house in the village. You now miss your calling. All you have left at the end of your life is a house in the village that even you can't live in because you are still hustling in town. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So that my friend was running with that guy. Took off. He continued running with the guy. Where he's supposed to pass the baton, because he was focused on that guy, he ran two laps. He ran two legs inside the relay. His own and the other person. Because he was competing with somebody. He ran two. When we finished the race, when they collect the baton, say, you have been disqualified. You can't run two people's race. He was so focused on winning this person. So when he was running, he was always looking at, he was looking like this is how he was running. He didn't look at where he's going or who he's supposed to give stick. He was looking at who he wants to overtake. That's why I say, looking unto Jesus. If you're looking at how fast he married before me, you don't know how long the marriage will last. You don't know where God is taking them. Look unto who? Jesus. He bought car before me. First to buy is not now old model. Do you get what I said? So relax. Looking unto who? Jesus. And why do we look unto him? They say he's the author. They say he has run this race that we too have run. In relay, when you're doing relay, it's a four-man relay. When you're doing relay, the way you set your relay is that the second fastest runner must run first leg, then the fastest runner must run last leg. That's how to win. The second fastest runner runs first leg so that he makes sure we have a good opening. The two middle people might not matter. You just beg them to hold button and pass button. Make sure it doesn't fall. Then you give your last runner, it's the fastest. Even if they have gapped us, that fastest runner will cover the gap. Or most times even win. And our race, the reason why our race is sure that we are going to win is that the person that started for us is Jesus. The person that is ending for us is Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So you see, your race has no other way it can end, but it will end well. I say 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 it will end well. In the name of Jesus, you too will receive the prize. So be committed to kingdom service, kingdom support, so that your own race will end well. Can we lift our hand where we are this morning? Father, we thank you for as we are running this race as members of this house, we're running the race, our own individual race of service, our own individual race of ministry. We pray that no one here will fall. No one here will miss the mark. Everyone here will be a kingdom star. We will fulfill purpose and we will serve the benefits of your kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray against distractions. We pray against every weight and every sin that besets us. We decree in the name of Jesus, we'll be successful in the race. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand, everybody.